Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is the analogy of scripture. If God is consistent and the Bible is God's word, then the Bible is consistent. We can then use scripture to interpret scripture, understanding less clear verses in light of clear verses. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
That boy's a natural, I'm telling you. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy Dalton just crushed it.
He did.
He came back ready to roar. The University of Kentucky hosting another one of the revivals that we've been hearing about around the country. There's a couple of groups that appear to be doing this. And our hope, because we couldn't find anything online, was that these organizations were actually presenting the gospel. It turns out at this particular event at the University of Kentucky, attended by 7,000 people, the gospel was loud and clear. Amen. Unfortunately, it was packaged with a fair amount of glop. Even so, we hope that the kids who are getting saved, presumably, and baptized are indeed born again. I'm glad the gospel was thoroughly explained, because that has been an error of the evangelical community, in my estimation. Now, for decades, we assume too much. We use a word here, 7 minutes later, you use a word there, and then 13 minutes later, you talk about this and say, well, the gospel was there. It needs to be coherent, and it needs to be delivered with a call, not to an altar, but to respond to the message that Jesus Christ claims to be the only way to God, and to push people on that and not just let it float, and certainly not to assume. Here's an example of that. I'll leave the news source out. Kelsey Grammer. He's Frasier, right? Kelsey Grammer. I must have missed an awful lot in the 90s, those sitcoms. I think we were kind of busy raising children. Kelsey Grammer shares Jesus with old Cheers bar buddies in an incredible interview. All right, I hear shares Jesus. That means you talked about God's character and nature, your failure to keep his laws, the just consequences for your law breaking, what Jesus did to redeem us sinners, and how we must repent and put our trust in the resurrected Savior. That to me is sharing Jesus. Well, I didn't listen to the podcast, I confess, but according to this article, he said that after Ted Danson brought up religion, Kelsey Grammer began by saying he was raised believing in Christian Science from Mary Baker Eddy in the 1800s. Quote, I had this wild moment on a plane. Jesus is sitting down right next to me and talking to me. Wonder if that was coach or first class. Sorry. That detail aside, and it was undeniably true and real and reassuring and uplifting. And I got to surrender and tears were just dropping down my face. It was an extraordinary moment. And it just was that thing that happens, you know? And suddenly it was revealed to me and there I was, and I guess I was saved. All right, leaving the exploration of those comments aside, that's not sharing Jesus. He talked about what he believes to be some sort of religious experience, but that's not sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel must contain all of those elements. And as long as we're talking about 90s sitcom stars, Tim Allen, he's been reading his Bible. He's been reading his Bible, and he said this. After nearly a year, I finished the entire Old Testament, and the experience of rereading dedicated focus and no drifting has made this a humbling, overwhelming experience. That's ridiculous. As if somebody could learn enough to be saved from just the Old Testament. You know, like the first century saints who had everything that they... How did Timothy get saved? From the scriptures. What scriptures? That would be the not unhitched Old Testament. What a treasure, said Mr. Home Improvement. Now he's 3 days into the New Testament. Well, that's cool. Let's hope that he gets saved from that. If he isn't already, let's hope that he does. Let's hope that Kelsey Grammer is, but let us do better at presenting the gospel coherently and calling people to salvation. What you going to do with this? What are you going to do? You can't walk away from this and just pretend it never happened. Now you know cosmic truth. What's your response? Jimmy, I think Dalton did a bang-up job.
I do too.
He's going to want a podcast. I can just tell him he's going to want a podcast. Let's talk about the kids on the campuses, shall we? It appears that this generation, while every generation that comes up behind the preceding generation never matches the standard of their generation, you know, because when I was a kid, nevertheless, we have seen the Gen Zers, they are more different than most generations. I think social media is absolutely the tip of the spear that is leading that charge, that is causing kids to think differently, to respond to parents differently, to process reality differently, to work differently with a different work ethic. It is a different generation, and we would like to see these kids saved, not mocked, as has been happening too often with Gen Zers. According to George Barna, most American teens are very motivated to know about Jesus. Okay, I'll take them at their word. And I got to tell you, we've been observing this now for a number of years. Young people, whether they're teenagers, early 20s, they are indeed anxious to talk. They're looking for an anchor. They want a port in the storm. 52% of American teenagers say they're very motivated to know more about Jesus. That's an opportunity for the church. Don't blow it, church. Don't do dumb. Don't do silly. Don't think that gross out games is the way to the heart of a teenager. They're not dumb. This is why we made Road Trip to Truth, and we did not aim low. We respected them and we used big words because they can get it. All you need to do is present it in a way that's compelling. Yeah, you got competition because of short attention spans, but if you're interesting, they'll watch it. It's fascinating to me. Do you know what videos work best on YouTube? You would think, oh, the shorter the better. That's kind of my thinking. It's not true. The longer the better. So kids are able to focus on something that's more than 30 seconds. Like, hey, we're just going to do this real quick, kids. Just hang in there. I got to tell you this story about Jonah real quick, because this dude was like, no, they can handle it. If we deliver it in a way that is respectful, because let me tell you something. They can smell condescension in a heartbeat. Just over 75% say they're somewhat motivated to learn about Jesus. Less than 20% of teenagers said they were unmotivated to learn about Jesus. That, I think, is encouraging news. Now, how we engage those kids in churches, perhaps this from Christian Post, this was apparently a study on small groups and Gen Z. Apparently the Gen Zers don't like it. They don't like the small group concept. And you're going to hear some of the markers that I think are the identifying traits of Gen Zers in this. This approach to discipleship, meaning small groups, isn't a good fit for younger generations who are more likely to be wrestling with social insecurities and anxieties and turn most to their mothers for spiritual direction. Oh, Father, dear Dad, where are you? The kids don't like the small groups. They're asking mom questions. They also ask the internet questions. That's usually a coin toss. It could go well or it could go poorly. But these kids, they don't like the small groups because they don't like the intimacy of it and the potential transparency and that they might be marked a loser or a failure, or they might be shunned. Do you remember when we read the statistic of the number of Gen Zers who don't like to go out to eat because they're afraid if they order, they could goof it up and get food that they don't like or embarrass themselves with the wait person. So they have somebody else order for them. This is reality. And so if we're going to invite these young people into church, I think recognizing their insecurities to make them feel welcome and safe is just wisdom. Compared to older generations, younger generations are more likely to say they aren't in a small group because they don't think they would fit in, are intimidated, fear getting hurt, and worry people wouldn't like them. They're scared. And that's true for men and women, though men especially feel they wouldn't fit in, even if people or that people wouldn't get along with them. Young women say, I don't know anyone who goes to a small group and I don't want to go alone. So they're not. What could we do? Well, I guess we could come up with a new church model and change the small groups, call them something cool and hip and groovy, or we can just welcome them lovingly, encouragingly, and maybe get to know them and then bring them into a small group if that's the way that your church operates, because they want to know about Jesus. They're just have some social phobias that maybe keep them from doing that. And by the way, speaking of Dalton and what happened at the University of Kentucky and reaching young people, if you're on a campus anywhere in the country, and you maybe would like us, Fortis Institute, to come to your campus and do an event where we won't have milk cartons and weight and sin and other silly things at some sort of a revival, but instead to really proclaim truth to kids, to students, send Dalton an email. Dalton, as in Dalton, at fortisinstitute.org. Dalton at fortisinstitute.org. You have to have a campus ministry and be willing to invite us in, and we will take it from there, and we will do the rest, because we would love to see more Gen Zers saved. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Krotz helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
What if you could strengthen your marriage in just minutes a day? Well, we're making that possible and easier than ever before, because now through the end of the month, we're giving away our resource Drive By Marriage completely free at fortisplus.org. And also don't forget to pick up the study guide absolutely free as well. Drive By Marriage gives you 31 powerful bite-sized lessons that fit into your busy schedule. And with the study guide, you're going to get deeper insights and practical exercises to apply what you're learning. This complete marriage building package has helped couples grow closer to each other and closer to God. You're going to discover keys to better communication, biblical solutions for resolving conflict, and ways to build lasting trust and intimacy. Don't miss this opportunity. Visit fortisplus.org now to get your free digital copy of Drive By Marriage and the study guide. Remember, the special offer ends at the end of the month. Head to fortisplus.org right now. It's Drive By Marriage, because a few minutes a day can transform your marriage forever. FortisPlus.org.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like perspicuity, the clarity of Scripture. God uses the text of Scripture to clearly communicate His character and will. God has not hidden His will for only the enlightened few to find. His truth can be clearly understood by anyone who reads His Word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Rude. I was very, very rude. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I didn't ask you, what was your take on Dalton's review of the University of Kentucky revival?
Yeah, I think it was promising for sure. For sure. I do have questions.
Like?
I think the biggest one, the biggest question I have, where he talked about the churches that were there set up and how the speakers or the organizers of the event got there a couple of days before and met with local churches and invited them in. Look, that's all great. You want people plugged into the local church after you leave.
Yep.
But which ones?
Are they vetted?
Right.
What are they doing there? Yeah, we'll hope for the best, but that's true without knowing what those churches are. How ecumenical was that outreach? What are they doing at those churches? Did they have to have a standard or a statement of faith that they needed to pass? I think you're exactly right. That's why the events that we're hoping to do that I'm really not supposed to be telling you about on campuses, we want to involve local churches. In fact, we won't do it without a local church. We want to go to different campuses around the country and do indoor events. And these aren't going to be the, we fed that guy his breakfast or whatever it is. We stifled him. We showed that punk that we know our stuff better than he does. No, not to do that, because I actually believe these statistics. And I know from experience, the students, they're wanting to sort it. They really are. They're thinking about it, I think, actually more than I would say even 10, 15 years ago, when kids basically, they were just consuming Sam Harris, Christopher Hitchens, and just drinking that Kool-Aid. Well, now they're not. They seem to be willing to think things through, ponder things, and they are so, you know those things, like in front of a car dealership, those balloon things where they got the fan underneath and it just kind of flops and wiggles all over the place. That's what they feel like. And they are looking for somebody to come alongside them, show them that they care, be safe, so that they can get anchored. They want that. So we want to go to campuses and do that. In fact, we're hoping, this is not a done deal, but I'm so excited about this. We're hoping actually to go to Kennesaw State, which is the largest university in Georgia. Probably wouldn't have guessed that, but Kennesaw State is. At least that's the last stat that I heard. And we want to do it with Dr. Greg Gifford. And we're going to talk to students about mental health and psychotropics. It's going to be based on his new book, which is coming out very, very soon. I'll let you know. Lies My Therapist Told Me. And we're going to, of course, preach the gospel. One of the chapters in the book, which is so exciting to consider how widely disseminated this book might be. And it is clear that the gospel is crucial when it comes to, air quotes, mental health. Regeneration has to take place. It is the crucial component of being emotionally in balance. And that's inside of the book. And we want to do something with Greg at Kennesaw State, hoping that's going to happen. Or we'd come to your campus if you have a campus ministry and you can invite us in. You get the room and then we'll fly in and we'll provide the posters and what have you for you to put up. Let's see if we can invite students to come and consider Christianity. Or we could bring in, for instance, Jason Lyle, and we could do a creation evolution event. Or we could bring in any of our fellows, and we will be all about the business of preaching the gospel to bring clarity to their lives and then plug them into local churches. It's the crucial component. And that's why I would say if we get an invite from a campus ministry to come to the campus, but there's not a good local church nearby, probably wouldn't do it. That's how important the local church is. I'm almost tempted to start writing down all of the times that I think to myself, oh, if this person were only plugged into a local church, oh, what a difference that would, oh, how that would help them in this instance. Oh, what it would do for their relationships. The importance of the local church. So at any rate, if you happen to be a campus ministry somewhere in the English-speaking world, send Dalton a text. Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, at fortisinstitute.org, because The kids are lonely to boot. This is an article from Wired.com. At first, I was a little incredulous, but it's like, well, maybe statistically, they're onto something here. The loneliness epidemic, this headline says, is a security crisis. Now, I don't know if you want to label it that, but I read some statistics about romance fraud that kids are getting duped into these. Well, it's not just kids. It's all kinds of wide range of individuals who are lonely. They're finding these online affairs. Now, I'm not talking about the chat bots and the AI business. That's another thing unto itself. In fact, this article, oh, this is from Wired too. A Megan Farak Manesh. Sorry. It's titled, I Dated Multiple AI Partners at Once. It Got Real Weird. She talks about how horrible it is these days to be dating, that it's really hard. And the apps, she says, are broken. Whether it's Hinge, Tinder, Bumble, or something else, everyone on them has become an algorithmic fodder in a game that often feels pay to play. I've heard that so much. Colloquial wisdom suggests you're better off trying to meet someone in person. But ever since the arrival of COVID, people just don't mingle like they used to. Is that true? It's not surprising then that some romance seekers are skipping human companions and turning to AI. So she tried several of them. And as she stated, they got weird. This isn't a Christian article, by the way, but nevertheless, insightful. The first one, which was ChatGPT, Jamie, constantly asked me and validated my feelings. Yep, that's how it works with cults too. He was the ultimate yes man, forever finding a way to turn even my worst actions into something positive. You're human. It just means you're flawed, but capable of growth. Oh, doesn't that feed every generation's pride-filled, yes, it's about me attitude, and watering down any sins or crimes you've committed and making you the star of the show. Pros, she writes in this review. An AI playing a therapist, boyfriend, recipe book, tarot reader, and more rolled into one. It's attractive. It's tirelessly supportive. Constantly affirming. Always asking questions. That plays right into the loneliness of it. If somebody's interested in me, somebody cares about me. Here's the stats from the other Wired article. Romance fraud is a big business. People in the U.S. have reported losses of nearly, get ready for this, $4.5 billion to romance and confidence fraud over the past decade. This is from FBI data. Romance and confidence scams led to about $600 million for each of the past 5 years, except for 2021, COVID peak, $1 billion a year. They lure these people. They're lonely. They reach out to somebody on the internet, however that works, and they ask them questions and they care about them. They gain their confidence. And the article went on to mention how their modus operandi, they'll just kind of drop a hint about needing money. And then, no, don't send it to me. No, I couldn't possibly. And then you do, and then you get taken. And then there's the sex scamming where they have you send a picture of yourself and then they blackmail you. Lovely. What does this tell us in the church? We're not going to turn the gospel into the loneliness fixer, but there is no greater institution in helping people with loneliness. Being in a local church. I got to tell you, last night, we had a deacon and elders dinner. We just got together. I can't even describe how delightful it was. Just everybody for the same cause, Jesus Christ. Everybody sacrificing, giving, doing in order to help people understand how amazing our God is. And the laughter and the sweetness. We finished dinner. Few people had desserts, but otherwise just then we sat there and we got up, put our coats on, and then we stood there for another hour. There's no better place to fix the loneliness epidemic than inside of church. And that goes for young people too, who, by the way, another statistic here, it shouldn't surprise us. We've heard this before from the Institute of Family Studies. 22 to 34-year-olds, unprecedented rise in celibacy. They're not pursuing marriage. And so their intimacy with another person is going down. Now, on the one hand, that's good because the hookup culture is diminishing. It's not going away by any means, but it's going down. Porn is replacing it because they're afraid to get married. And married people experience the joys of that act more than single people do. In other words, we got a generation that's hurting and lonely. And we have an institution built by Jesus Christ himself that is excellent at helping people not be lonely. If you're not a member of a local church, don't delay. Find the best Bible teaching church you can and join it. Believe me, your loneliness, if you get plugged in rightly, it will go away. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.